Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 160 of the Citrix Session. I'm your host, Andy Whiteside. Today is April 22nd, 2024. Quick commercial time. Zintegra is a partner that really focuses on end-user compute technologies. We call it the modern workspace practice here. Citrix is a big part of that. And if you are currently working with the platform or want to be working with the platform or, you know, trying to integrate the platform with something like Microsoft AVD or Amazon AWS or Google Cloud, we are definitely the partner to help you. I've got with me Bill Sutton. Bill runs the Modern Workspace Practice. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well today, Andy. Thank you.
I'm excited, and we'll jump right into it. I'm excited about the topic you brought because we get to talk about HDX, you know, the brooms from Home Depot.
Right, exactly, or the trash bags.
No, I'm joking. I'm picking slightly because I do want to highlight the acronym HDX, High Definition Experience from Citrix. It is very, very misleading how a lot of people talk about HDX. And today we're going to review a blog from Miguel Contreras, and it's what's new with HDX in the 2402 LTSR, long-term service release. We talk about long-term service releases a lot. And that is all about high-defin user experience. That is not necessarily the protocol, which is part of it, what a lot of us older guys call ICA protocol, independent computing architecture protocol, what Citrix is famous for, which, by the way, had a different meaning in the beginning. I think they changed it. Bill, do you know what that is? Do you know what the ICA originally stood for?
Independent Computing Architecture.
That's actually not true, I don't think.
No, it's not true? Okay.
There was something before that. I'll have to look it up. I knew it the other day, and I can't remember it now. There was something before that, and they changed it. I'll look into it. But nonetheless, it's not just the protocol. It's lots of things. And now that they have a new long-term service release, we thought it would be good to talk about more of those items. Bill, anything specific around the concept of HDX? Look, it's a marketing term, just like it is at Home Depot. It's a marketing term to help articulate these things we're going to dive into.
Yeah, I mean, it is a marketing term that was basically brought about a number of years ago. I remember when they announced it, when they started adding some of the really big key features, particularly around H.264 acceleration, so the video encoding and decoding. They modified the name, or they didn't really modify it. They added on HDX as a high definition experience, and they have continued to innovate and develop on top of that stack since then significantly. And we'll highlight some of that today.
Yeah. So it's interesting. They start the first, or Miguel starts the first section with security. You know, as we talk about user experience, to me, it comes down to two things. Of course, just usability in general, but user experience and security, and depending on who you're talking to in the space, whether it's a security guy, whether it's a desktop user experience guy, they'll usually lead with whatever one they think is most important. And here we're talking about security first, and it's TLS 1.3 support.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, you know, like you said, under the security banner. And it discusses a lot of things that are enhanced to enhance from a security perspective with respect to the traffic that's being sent across the wire. So lots of enhancements to, you know, virtual channels, supports for wildcards, environment variables, and a lot of enhancements in the logging side of things to help secure the data that's in transit.
Yeah. I mean, at a minimum, you can look at Citrix, which I do, as a very big security play. But when you go to the typical thing people talk about security, and that's that communication effort being highly encrypted and hard to crack. Next, it talks about the universal print server, also supports TLS 1.3. Virtual channel list enhancements. That's the next real topic.
Yeah, you know, this is really just about being able to, if you use custom virtual channels in the environment, then they've simplified the configuration and management of the feature. And it discusses, I mentioned this just a second ago, support for wildcards when you're telling it which processes you want to be part of that virtual channel. You can use wildcards, environment variables, and then you can set the level of logging associated with those custom virtual channels. We don't see that much, but I know that there are some folks that use custom virtual channels for certain types of telephony or voice. But in my path, I haven't seen it that much.
Yeah, it's not all that common. You hopefully don't have to ever do that. But if you did, You want to make sure you can support it and it's secure it. Log settings, next topic.
Yeah, this again is where you can set the level of logging associated with the custom virtual channels, as well as throttling periods for the events that are listed in the logs.
Yeah. Okay, so we're through with the networking. I mean, sorry, the security stuff. Now we're going to networking, transport of those packets. This is where it gets, well, for the more technical, it gets a little sexier. For other people, they might not be so interested. But the first one is enhanced EDT congestion control. EDT, maybe just start with what that acronym even means.
Oh, gosh, I knew you were going to call me on that. Enlightened data transport or enhanced data transport. I don't remember which. I think it was originally called enlightened, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. This is what is often referred to. You're looking it up here. Enlightened. Believe it or not, I remembered it.
You got it right. What's current? Because enhanced is what I what it was originally called, I believe.
Yeah, it could be. But I guess technically now it is enlightened. Nevertheless, this is what some folks know as, I don't know what this acronym stands for, but DTLS. That's a protocol that you run on typically on your NetScaler or on the gateway service. And this is really about responsiveness. It leverages UDP. And they've enhanced this a good bit to reflect roughly a 5x improvement in transfer. And they've got a separate blog associated with this where you can see metrics that compare the old and the new.
You know, I was thinking about this literally the other day. I was driving from point A to point B, and the roads were empty on the way there and busy on the way back. You know, you got latency. Latency is latency, no matter how busy it is or not.
Right.
And then you have the bandwidth, which is how wide the roads are. And then you have the congestion control. You know, Citrix is doing some really amazing things with EDT using UDP and falling back to TCP when necessary, and then turning around and optimizing the UDP is what we're really talking about in this case.
Yeah, exactly.
Next section is loss tolerant mode.
Yeah, so this is enhancements to primarily to the two bullets below that, Andy, which are audio and graphics. And this is enhancements to the EDT protocol to help with real-time traffic in networks that are challenging. So like for audio, for example, it allows you to maintain a high quality experience even in poor network environments by leveraging lossy. So you'll see high quality experience and less dropped packets and things of that nature because we're leveraging EDT, which leverages UDP.
Yeah. Well, what's so interesting around the security as well, but the user experience section of this is you will be judged on the worst possible moment and the worst possible user experience. When a user uses it happily for days and days on end, no issue, they don't turn around and send you love letters. It's the minute it doesn't work, they automatically qualify everything as bad. And so it's super important that you got to be prepared for the worst possible scenarios, which, by the way, the worst possible scenario is packet loss total. But with UDP, it does a good job of even packet loss to the best ability it can, knowing that the bad scenarios are coming.
Yeah, and the next one there, loss tolerant mode for graphics, very similar. But here you can set you can define latency and loss thresholds. And there's a video in here that actually shows it, and it's actually pretty cool. If you get a chance, if the listeners get a chance, go out to the blog and look at that video. It really demonstrates, particularly when you're dealing with high resolution graphics, how you can maintain the interactivity of the, like if you're trying to rotate an image, you can maintain the activity even when the network conditions are degraded or poor.
And Bill, and to the best of my knowledge, this stuff just turned on these days.
Yes, it is.
It's awesome. Wouldn't you have loved when you were an admin or a consultant to be able to have this stuff just turned on instead of having to go and try to figure out and test whether you needed to turn it on?
Exactly. Yeah.
Next one is enhanced compression.
Yeah. So compression has always been a part of the delivery method. We've always tried to compress the data stream. Basically, what Citrix is saying here is they've increased the compression, which enables you to reduce the amount of bandwidth required by about 15%. So they've increased the compression by about 15%. So you should be able to get better performance over lower bandwidth connections.
I like this part of the conversation because we're in a world where Microsoft is doing a lot with AVD and RDP to try to get better. Citrix isn't just standing around waiting on them to catch up. Citrix is continuing to make the HDX protocol, ICA, better at the same time, which creates this, you know, this race condition. A lot of people are moving to Microsoft AVD. Some people are moving to Citrix on top of AVD, you know, Azure Virtual Desktops. That Citrix value is still there and continues to improve itself and prepares you for that, you know, that moment in time when things get bad and you need the best possible protocol to handle it. New platforms for virtual loopback. I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, this one, I was trying to remember this. I've used this before, but it has been a long time. This was taken out of the product for a while, but was still available, I think, in the native operating system. So the issue was with multi-user session hosts. You can now use it on 2019 server and 2022 server within HDX. I think this had to do with assigning an IP or a private IP to a session for certain types of licensing requirements. I'd have to go back and look, but I believe that's what it was, something along those lines. And it was available because I remember using it in some of the early versions. I mean, this goes back to Andy to, I think, MetaFrame XP. So we're talking, you know, Windows NT4, maybe early Windows 2000. So it was available then, but I think they pulled it out of the product at some point and it looks like it's back.
Next bullet is Rendezvous version.
Yeah. So Rendezvous is basically the capability of the VDA running on the endpoint to communicate directly with the control plane rather than going through the delivery controller itself. I'm sorry, rather than going through the cloud connector itself, you can optimize your connection path so that it goes directly back to the delivery controller. And then once the user establishes a session, it's actually directly between the user and the VDA. And that's what version 2 enables, is that direct connection between the user's device and the VDA. And they've improved that connection path process in this latest version.
All right, next section is around graphics. I want you to talk about this, but I want to set it up. When you say graphics, does that mean high definition graphics? Does that mean just graphics for day-to-day use cases? Or is there some place where it's murky as to which one you're talking about and how relevant it is?
It gets a little murky, to be honest with you. You know, obviously, if you're talking about really high resolution graphics and GPUs and things of that nature, it's going to leverage a lot of these same things. It's just going to be potentially more efficient with really high graphics needs because you're able to offload it from the CPU to the GPU.
Yep. And that's a key part of the conversation, is having that capability to have GPUs, first of all, and to have cost-effective CPU and GPU resources where you're not running as lean as possible. I was with a customer this weekend. The conversation said they were, you know, moving to Microsoft Azure for hosting all their desktop workloads, but every time they needed just the slightest bit of performance increase, it was like an act of Congress to get that approved because it, you know, would run the bill up across the scale of how many desktops they had.
Exactly. Yeah, and an important point here when it comes to, I know this is not necessarily in this article, but when it comes to GPUs, a lot of folks don't realize you don't have to have, you know, massive like AutoCAD workloads to justify GPUs. GPUs are used on endpoints all the time for basic PowerPoint transitions, perhaps some Excel calculations, things of that nature. Adobe, you know, some of the Adobe suites, you leverage them as well. So having them even for knowledge worker roles are important to make the performance really good.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe even task workers just for snappier screens.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah. All right, next section says automatic video codec selection.
Yeah, this is AV1. I haven't heard a lot about this, but this is a newer protocol or newer method of delivering images as compared to H.264, which has been around a long time, and 265, which has been around a few years. So this essentially is just a higher compression and quality protocol as compared to them. And there's a video here that shows them side by side. It's pretty slick as well. And there are some details in the docs on how to take advantage of this.
Adaptive refresh rate, man, refresh rate. I know that's almost silly to be talking about to a normal PC person, but when you're delivering this stuff across a network instead of a little wire that goes from a card to a monitor, yeah, you got to understand what this means.
Yeah, this one and the one right before it, which is automatic video codec selection, they've kind of become like the easy buttons. They're turned on automatically. There really isn't anything for an administrator to do. I mean, you can tweak it if you want to, but the majority of users or administrators are going to leverage these technologies out of the box. And advanced or automatic video codec selection is essentially where it picks the codec that's needed based on the workload automatically for you. So Citrix actually calls it in the article the easy button, and it does the same thing with the adaptive refresh rate. It adjusts it automatically based on what's optimal for the session.
Oh man, again, that's so nice to have these days versus trying to predict it and just, you know, going with the lowest common denominator like we had to.
Yep.
HEVC, how do you say the acronym? I know it has a name.
I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. I mean, I know what it
is. HEVC, I think it's HEVC or something.
Yeah, HEVC, something like that.
HEVC. 444, visually lossless with hardware encoding.
Yeah, I think this is about those things that need the highest graphic fidelity with the lowest CPU impact. And there's some details on enabling this in an article on Citrix's website. But this is just, again, another example of Citrix's commitment to improving the graphics fidelity of the workloads that are delivered via the VDA.
Yep. Enhanced build to lossless. Not lossy, but lossless.
Yep, this is the build to lossless functionality that they've had for years, which is essentially where your an image is pops up on the screen quickly, but then it starts to build the image out as you move around or as you wait a second or so or start interacting with it. It snaps to pixel perfect images. And this is especially this build to lossless is especially beneficial for 3D graphics use cases.
Yeah, for and you know, a human being doesn't necessarily care what it looks like as you're moving it around the screen. We want to see what it looks like in sharp, clear image when you stop.
Yeah.
Next one is virtual display layout per monitor. We're in an interesting world. I don't know if you have dual monitors these days or not, or if you have one great big one, but you got to be prepared for both scenarios.
Yeah, I've got two, and they're aging, but they still work. This is interesting because they came out with this virtual display layout a few years ago where you could actually carve up the display, big display, into four pieces. You might remember that.
I do.
But one of the downsides was if you had two monitors, you couldn't stretch them across there. And I think they're basically allowing you to create virtual monitors, if you will, and spread it across all the monitors. I haven't tried this, but I'm now very interested in spinning up 2402 to try it.
So you have you could have two big monitors, but that person that likes to have multi monitors could have eight monitors spread across those two big ones.
Yeah, they'd be small, but you could do that, or you could split each of those two monitors into two virtual monitors, so you'd effectively have four.
Yeah, that might make for some happy users out there.
Might do it. Yeah.
Citrix indirect display driver.
Yeah, this is for demanding use cases. Gives the best response time in really, time sensitive situations. It's now the default display driver used at HDX. I haven't really seen much with this, but this is the default use case. So it's one of those things that you really don't have to do a whole lot with.
All right. So I tell this story all the time. Citrix is not just the back-end system delivering. That endpoint has to be capable of understanding all this magical stuff too. You'd be shocked how many Citrix people out there that just underestimate the value of the endpoint. The next section talks about endpoint synchronization. First section is, because by the way, that's where the user is going to ultimately see where the rubber meets the road. It's kind of like tires on a sports car. They better be good tires or you're not getting the value of the sports car. First one is audio volume synchronization.
Yeah, so this is really something that it works sometimes, but now it's clearly something that they've put some effort into, which I'm pleased to see. And that is where you might have the volume in your session set at one level and the volume on your endpoint set at a different level. Now they can synchronize them so that when you move up one up or down, the other one moves the same way up or down so that you don't have these situations where you've turned it up all the way on your local machine and in your session you've got it turn down and then you turn it all the way up and you get blasted. So, and then also the next one, support for multiple audio devices, is related to this. I know I've got this. A lot of times folks have different audio devices available. You might have your local speakers, you might have speakers in your monitor, you might have a headset, maybe headphones. And you can now choose which one you want to use in your session, if it's something other than the client default device. So you can use different devices with different applications inside the session. This is actually might actually be better than what we get on a regular workstation.
You know, Bill, this all kind of sounds like what should be table stakes. And it's just a great example of how this all just keeps moving forward and forward, and how it takes companies like Citrix that are focused on the space to keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Next section here. Last section before the conclusion is multimedia collaboration. First one is multiple webcam resolutions.
So, yeah, historically, webcam resolutions, there was usually one or two that were supported when you use a webcam inside the session. And often those weren't the real high def resolutions. Well, now they're now supporting the high def resolutions. And there's more details in related articles.
And then finally, Teams app sharing for custom apps.
This is interesting. Apparently I wasn't aware of this because I haven't run into it. If you're using Teams and you have like a Java based application, apparently you couldn't share that in your meeting. Now with the new optimized Teams through Citrix, you have the ability to share a Java-based application and other homegrown apps directly from within Teams in a VDA.
And I think that what that really highlights is you got Microsoft, you got the apps that are typically installed, you've got Citrix being the middleware delivery layer, and then right. You have all this stuff that has to come together in applications beyond, you know, what every company has. It might be a one-off Java-based application. You've got to be prepared for that stuff too.
Yes, you do. Yes, we do.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to ask you a question, kind of summarize this as it relates to, you know, Citrix and Zintegra. How much time did you prep for that discussion we just had?
Less than 5 minutes. And some of it was being done while you were talking before you moved on to the next topic. So,
and what that highlights is you don't have to, you know, go out and research all this. Citrix did a great job writing a blog. You've lived this stuff for, you know, the last 6 months and the last 20 years. It's right. What we do. It's what you do. That's why people should work with us.
And an important point is that sometimes you and I think you would agree, we learn things by doing these podcasts. Not, you know, we've got a lot of foundation, but we might discover something that we weren't aware of or weren't fully aware of. And what do we do with that? I take it back and try to understand it or get with my team and talk about it so that we can bring it to customers when it's appropriate.
And that's the value we bring, right? We're a partner who eats, sleeps, breathes this stuff. We can't keep up. So the partners that don't eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff, and customers who may have a really smart guy, but you just can't. And if you don't have the history of all this stuff, that's the first starting point.
Exactly.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you for jumping on and doing this. We look forward to more conversations with what Citrix is doing and us adding value to it along the way.
Exactly. Thanks, Anthony.